Good morning. Welcome to New Life Church this Memorial Day weekend. It's great to have you all here. I'd like to start first with, I think we have some service members in our audience and veterans, and I'd like to just take a moment to honor them with a round of applause. Thank you for your service. We really appreciate the sacrifice you make for our country. As Mike said, I'm kicking off a three-part series on grace. And grace reminds me a lot about gifts. I love gifts, don't you? Recently, my daughter, Diane, shared about a gift that she received. She told my wife, Alexi, that the best day that she can remember happened about 5 weeks ago when my family was playing basketball at a school nearby. It was a beautiful Saturday, and it was a great game. It was like sometimes 2-on-1, 3-on-1, 4-on-1 against me, and it was quite a fun time. Even a neighborhood gal came over and played with the girls, and we just had a fun time. What a gift. It came with a price, though. I had a stress fracture after that, so, you know, that happens. The pain was worth it, right? To be with the family and enjoy that time to give my daughter that gift and the rest of the family. There's something about gifts, isn't it? Isn't there? As a kid, I always looked forward to Christmas. I always looked forward to the birthday parties, wondering, what was I going to get? What was it going to be? What kind of gifts have you looked forward to in your life? There is a gift that Jesus has offered us, one that we can be thankful for, we can be eager for day after day, no matter if you've just received that gift or if you've experienced it for 20 or 30 years. The same gift is relevant to us every day. It's pure grace. Last week, Pastor Rick spoke on walking in the Holy Spirit. He said this, that the bank account of grace is unlimited, asking us this. He said, do you fill yourself with it? Do you meditate on it? The gospel of grace is so important to the Christian life, so very unique to Christianity, that we're going to spend the next 3 weeks talking about it, meditating on it, simmering in it, letting it fill us. Why? Because grace changes everything. Grace changes everything. Before we jump in, I want to take a moment to talk with God together, to invite you in. Close your eyes for a moment and listen to what God says in Ezekiel. And think on this. Does part or all of this sound like something you want in your life? Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer replace me with other things. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Now take a moment to tell God where your heart is right now. Dirty, stony, tender, responsive. Take a moment. Ask him in faith to speak to your heart right where you are this morning. Lord, we come before you. We are weak. We are needy. And Lord, we need your grace. Lord, we can't do it apart from your grace. So I just pray that you'd help us to hear from you. I pray that you let us soak in your grace, to experience it even, to get a taste of it, and to help us walk in it day by day, moment after moment. Lord, we need your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace. Grace. What does grace mean, anyway? Webster says it's special favor. A popular definition amongst Christians is it's unmerited favor. Or the New Living Translation says it's undeserved privilege. Those are good descriptions. We can sometimes misunderstand when we hear those that we think that God's grace is passive. We can think that it's not active in our lives. And to help me understand this, wise man Herschel Martindale shared this with us. He said, grace is God's love in action. It's God's love in action. This is the type of grace that God has for everyone who has chosen to become a follower of Jesus. You may think that's all well and good, but now, in terms of like, you know, for your life right now, but we want to dig into it a little bit deeper. We need to understand a little bit more. Let's look at Moses in the Old Testament. It doesn't seem like a very obvious place to go. But Moses is talking with God, and he's asking God for his favor. And he's asking, he knows that God has called him into leading the people in Israel. He says, God, I need a sign to know you're really going to have my back. I'm paraphrasing here, of course. God could have used very tangible signs, and he's done it before with pillars of smoke, pillars of clouds, but this time he didn't. He chose to use his personal name to speak to Moses. He said his name, Yahweh. It wasn't his generic name, God, if you will, but it's his personal name, just like someone's name is John or Erica. His name is Yahweh. And he says this in verse 33:17 of Exodus. He says, I look favorably on you, Moses, and I know you by name. This is what God says to you right now today. He says, I look favorably on you, and I know you by name. It's easy to forget that, though, isn't it? It's easy to go to trying to earn it, you know, trying to go to church week after week to try to gain God's favor for a guilty conscience or something that you feel like you did wrong, or asking again and again, almost without hope, because there's this lingering doubt in your mind that, is God really going to give me his grace? Or maybe fear that God doesn't really want to give it to you or that you don't deserve it. Do we really need to continue this pattern? Do we really need to continue this pattern? We first need to receive God's grace. And second, since we've received it, how can we continue in it? I love what it says in Colossians 2, and I'll just share a brief part of it because we can struggle with this, right? It's in Colossians 2, 6 and 7. It says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. So the same way we start in God's grace, he wants us to continue in God's grace day after day. No matter how mature you may feel or not feel, it really doesn't matter because that truth is still relevant to us. Now we're going to go into Romans 5 to let this truth soak in our soul even deeper, to experience God's grace in a deeper way, and we go to Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made right with God in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Christ Jesus our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Isn't that good? This is where we now stand. This is the secure footing of everyone who calls himself a follower of Jesus Christ. He says we have a secure footing in God's grace by faith. At the moment of salvation, grace is given to you never to be taken away. This is one truth that we can hold on to about God's grace, that grace is given to you never, ever to be taken away. You can't earn it, It doesn't just go away from you. It's there, available to you to grab hold of. Verse 6 in Romans 5. And by the way, we do have Bibles out in the lobby for free. If you guys need one, you can grab one after service. We'd love to share that with you. We really want to share that gift with you. Romans 5, verse 6. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from condemnation. But God, isn't that a great phrase? He has done this for you, for each of us. We have been justified because of what he has done. We have been reconciled with him, become friends with him. He's done it for you so that you could be set free and experience his grace. Reading on, verse 10, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of a son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son while we were still his enemies. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. We were enemies and we've become friends. Isn't that great? That great transfer from enemy to friend because of God's grace. We all need to be reminded of this. We need to trust in this. It's such a gift that we can't even describe how awesome it is because he died so painfully for us. He paid with a price. I need to hear this. I need to remind myself of this truth. I need to receive the gift. And the temptation can come for frustration and anxiety and anger come up whenever things don't go the way I want, right? I mean, aren't we all there sometimes where we feel like, this is just so much, and I just have to take control. But no, we need to let God's grace sink in, that the cross covered our sin, and he can give us strength to endure. Finishing up Romans 5, verse 12, says this, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through Jesus Christ, this one man. Isn't that good? Let that soak in. Don't just hear those words and think, yeah, I've heard that before. That's good. I'll just put that in my back pocket. But let it soak in. Let it soak in your soul. Before Adam's sin, people's default was to do good, all two of them. We were in a great spot. But then, through the choice of Adam to disobey, every human being was put in a spot where sin became our default, where we became responsible for our own choices to sin, where we became sinners. But let's be honest. That's us every day, where we can choose to sin. It's not like it's something that is different from our own personal experience. We sin, and we make that choice day to day. But we don't have to. We don't have to live that way. We don't have to live in bondage to that. I need to hear that. I need to, God's grace to soak in so I can be a better husband, a better father, a better friend, a better pastor. We need God's grace. And we have abundance of it because of the cross. Isn't that awesome? It's a free gift. He pours out in great abundance so that we could be set free. You have been given a free gift of God's grace. Receive it. You have been given a free gift of God's grace. So receive it. We can look at God's grace kind of like this gift over here. You may not have noticed it, maybe you have, but it was just sitting there, right? It didn't do me or you any good. It was just over there, just at arm's length. It was available, but it's easy to kind of just let it go and forget about it, right? But this, we can respond a lot to God's grace in the same way, right? Where we can take this box and receive it the first time we start following Christ, and then, you know, life goes on, and it's good, and we remember it, and then it goes on more, and we get caught up in other things, and it kind of just gets off to the side a little bit. It's still there, but it's easy just to kind of remember, oh, yeah, that's God's grace. That's cool. And then, you know, something comes up, you know, something that just gets under your skin, and, you know, it just, you don't have it anymore because you let go of it, right? But it's there. It's free, available, and we have to take a choice to accept it, to receive it day after day. I want you to see that you have found favor with God too. So I want you to encourage you to trust him. Trust him that that gift is available. Trust him that he has offered it to you and that you can receive it day after day, that you can embrace it freshly. Don't forget it. I need to hear this just like anyone else here, right? We all need to hear this truth. And over the past 2 years, God kind of led me through a journey of helping me to see that I need his grace in much more tangible ways. I need to practice walking in his grace, receiving it, and not just kind of leaving it to the side, right? And it started with about 2 years ago, we had our summer leadership training program. My wife started complaining about some digestion problems, and it went to the hospital, and after tests and blood transfusions, we found out that she had cancer in her colon. And this led to surgery, a long process of healing. They think they got it all, we're thankful for that. We haven't seen any signs of it by God's grace again. Such a great God, a gift from God that my wife is no longer has cancer in her body, which is awesome. Yep, that's awesome. Thank you. Now, I haven't told you this but the lie that I wrestle with, I struggle with over life, is that God won't provide, he won't give me joy, that he's not gracious to me. And this nerve was hit right in that moment. Time after time, is my wife going to die? Am I going to be able to handle taking care of my girls? We have 3 beautiful girls. I showed you a picture earlier. But is he going to take care of me? So I needed to walk in God's grace. I needed to practice it at that time. And I still do, moment after moment, over those past 2 years. Excuse me. So let's get practical. Let's go into how do we receive God's grace? How do we receive God's grace? The first is to receive God's grace by faith. We read that in Romans 5, verse 2. It says, through faith, God has given us his grace. It's very simple. Through faith, trusting him day after day. You can't earn it. You need to let it soak in. Receive God's grace by faith. Meditate on the truths that I just shared with you. If nothing else, go to Romans 5. Go to a favorite passage. God's grace is given to you, never to be taken away. You have been given a free gift of God's grace. Receive it. You have found favor with God. Trust him. Let those truths soak in. Receive it. Not only receive it, but let it wash your mind. This is what we just read in Romans 5. Meditate on it. Soak it in. Take time throughout your busy day. Maybe pop it up on your smartphone or in your Bible. You have it. Bring it to you, with you to work or wherever the case is. Meditate when you can. Wash your mind. The next is I need to recognize my need. I need to recognize that I need God's grace. Romans 5:20 says, God's law was given so that all people could see just how sinful they were. Because of sin, I don't deserve life. None of us do. But God gives us grace, and we can just admit it. We can recognize our need and say, hey, I need this. I need it even more today than I did yesterday. And again, like this gift, receive it. Take it back up. Even if you let go of it for a time, pick it back up and embrace it. Soak it. Let it soak in your soul. The next is to boast about your need. That's a very practical step that I had to learn going through my life, honestly. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9, Paul asked for something to be taken away, a thorn in his flesh. And he said, each time Jesus said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am going to boast about my weaknesses. Let it be known that you need the gift. Boast about it so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When Alexia was going through her pain and suffering and cancer, I knew I couldn't heal her. I knew I couldn't help her. I needed to boast in that. I need to ask God, please help me. Please help my wife. Please be my strength. I need your grace. The next is to humble yourself. And that's something we all love to do, right? To humble ourselves. We just need to admit, hey, I can be proud. I can be self-reliant a lot. God opposes the proud but favors the humble. Isn't that great truth? He gives favor to the humble. I needed to humble myself when I was selfish and concerned about my own needs at times when Alexi was going through pain and suffering, when my girls needed their daddy. I needed God's grace to love them and support them. I needed to humble myself. Nothing can replace humility. Nothing can replace humility and repentance before God. So it's okay. It's okay to say you messed up. It's okay to say you did that one thing again. Let God know and say, I don't want to do that anymore. I need you, God. I need your help. Please forgive me. Please help me to walk in repentance, that I would turn away from this day after day. I don't have to live this way anymore. I thank you for your forgiveness, Lord Jesus. Final way that we can receive God's grace is this: by being trained by it. Now, you might think, how is it that grace teaches us to obey? It doesn't seem to make sense, right? But in Titus 2:11 and 12, it says this. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. It teaches us to obey. Isn't that awesome? God's grace teaches us to obey. So how do you need to receive God's grace? Think about it right now. How do you need to receive God's grace? We reflected earlier on Ezekiel 36, where God said he would give us soft hearts. Wouldn't it be great if we received God's grace day after day, moment after moment? Do you know and believe that God's grace is available to you right now? Right now, God's grace is available to you. Or do you sometimes struggle to believe or wonder, is it really there for you? It's okay. Admit it. Just say, I need it. I don't understand it. Help me to receive it. In fact, God tells us we can actually grow in his grace. He says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a day-by-day experience. We can grow in God's grace. 2 Peter 3:18. And to him be the glory both now and forever. God says, I look favorably on you. I know you by name. Grow in the grace of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be men and women that don't just look at your grace and say, oh, that's great and good and thanks, and then we turn away, kind of like this gift that can be left on the floor. But Lord, I thank you that you give us grace so that we can experience it. We can let it soak in our souls. We can embrace it, Lord. Lord, we need your grace. I pray that you'd help us be men and women that walk in that grace day by day. Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to us, that you would stir in our hearts to motivate us to seek your grace day by day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.